You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
Hey, everybody, this is Dave Monahan, and you're watching the Best Practices Show.
Hey guys, thanks for watching the Best Practice Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over the world. And if you're growing a fee-for-service or just great dental practice in general, you know this is a constant conversation in dentistry. It's how do we do this and stay outside the insurance realm? And today we're going to be talking to a worldwide expert on membership plans with our good friend Dave Monahan from Clear. You do not want to miss this. So do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button. You're going to love this. Now, why this is so important is that dentists are struggling with solutions. A lot of times we get calls and they're frustrated because PPOs are tightening up reimbursements. It's getting a little weird, but they don't have a plan. Today, you're going to get a plan. Now, as you're watching the video, a couple things. I want you to get the most out of this, but a couple complaints come up constantly. Dentists watch this stuff all the time. And team members don't get any education when it comes to stuff like this. What a great opportunity to educate your team. Share this video with them and or the audio and say, let's have a conversation. How can we incorporate it in the practice? Help them grow too. And the second thing is that when you have tough questions, things that come, add them to the feed and you're going to see we're going to do our best to give you the right information again because we want you to get the most out of this. Now, my guest today, you guys are kind of a I wouldn't say you're a new player on the, but you're a newer player on the scene. And it's very cool in our little interaction that we've had with you guys. And I absolutely love where you're headed, how you guys do it. This is probably the most comprehensive dossier I've ever received in preparation for education. So I feel like extra prepared today. But, you know, Dave, if no one's ever heard of you or Clear, give us a look. First of all, I always want to know your story. And then tell us a little bit about this great company because you guys aren't from the dental industry, right? You know, give us your story.
Great, and thanks, Kirk. And yeah, the reason you probably have such a detailed dossier is my background is engineering, and so I came from the engineering world, and I get that comment a lot that we document, you know, quite a bit of things. But so the net is just real quickly on myself. So I came through engineering. I worked for Northrop Grumman. We actually did avionics systems for fighter aircraft and for drones. So I was deep on the engineering side. I ended up leaving there and started working for Microsoft. And so I spent about 8 or 9 years with Microsoft and ended up running a few of their businesses. And that was back in the crazy days of the insane growth they had, like in the late 90s, early 2000s. And back then, people like Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer were very accessible. So I got access to a lot of people on a lot of different things. And it was an amazing time. And I could tell stories whenever if we grab a drink at some point about sort of the days of Microsoft back then. But, you know, from there, I actually left and started a company and we developed wearable devices before anybody knew what that was. And so
I don't even know what that is. What is that?
So it's anything you put on your body that's either monitoring your health or your fitness. Okay. And so, for example, a lot of people know about Fitbit and, you know, devices like that. And we actually created, and this is back about 2004, 2005, we created the Nike Plus system. And we actually, our company built it for Nike and Apple and then Nike and Apple distributed it and marketed it. And it was a great success. And that was what you could track runs, and you could send that information through your iPod when iPhones weren't even around at that point. And anyway, so we took that, those products, we moved them into the healthcare space, and it explained some of my sort of why I got where I am now. But we did a lot of partnering with healthcare companies, and the device we created was a little patch you could put onto your chest, and it monitored your cardiovascular system. And the net was, it could tell you exactly what's happening to your cardiovascular system. No matter where you were, it would, you could, you know, you didn't even know you had it on. It was sending information through your phone. And then the healthcare companies would support their patients through the platform. And so the net was, I did a lot of work there as far as partnering with healthcare companies and improving access to care and the ability to get care and things like that. But we ended up selling that company in March of 2016 to a medical device company. And I was looking for my next thing, and I actually was planning on taking some time off. And I actually ran into a friend of mine who owned 6 dental practices. And it had been a while since I had even had seen him. And the net was, I just wanted to understand sort of how the business was going. And he gave me all the background that every dentist knows, which was, it's very difficult to work with insurers, reimbursements are dropping, it's hard to get patients in the door. When they get in the door, they often leave. And he gave me that whole download. And so I said, hey, you know, mind if I join you and sort of try to figure out, you know, what we might do? And so the net was, I joined him in the summer of 2016, and I spent about 9 months investigating the market.
So you're going to tell us a lot today. I'm guessing that's a lot of what's in here. But, you know, now I always like to start with the why before the how. You know, if you're a young dentist watching this, because you've done the research, why is it so important that I listen today and understand this conversation you and I are going to have?
So at a high level, the why is both on the dentist side and on the patient side. So we did a lot of market research, and we go through that in a minute. But the net, what it showed was, as I said, dentists were really struggling with just managing a profitable practice when they're dependent on insurance. And it was very obvious. And we actually pulled practice management data and looked at everything as far as what, how patients were coming in, how often they accept treatment, what type of payments and reimbursements did the dentist get if they were insured, if they were uninsured. We did a full analysis of many practices. And so the one big why is it's really hard to run a practice on insurance, right, at the end of the day. And then the other why, which may be more important, by the way, because we spent a lot of time with insured and uninsured patients and trying to understand their perspective. And there's two things that came from that. Insured patients were just confused about what they had, what they didn't have. And the words they always used was very common was, the insurer is going to get me. They're going to get me one way or the other, right? Yeah. Because I know it's a 10-page document with 8-point font, and I can't understand what's in, what's out, and what I get reimbursed for. So that was the uninsured patients were confused. On the other side, insured patients were confused. On the uninsured side, they wanted more care. And what kept them away from care was not having coverage.
Wow.
So the why is, it's, there's a big reason to have a membership plan for the practice, and a very big reason for your patients to have one as well.
Right, right. That is awesome. That is, and it's so true. And I love this topic so much. I could talk for hours on it because it's almost like a no-brainer. And then I'm going to introduce, well, we'll keep going. But, you know, one of the things is a lot of people have different ideas on what a membership plan is. I hate the word discount plan. That's my own personal preference. Sometimes they think they're going to be giving away all of this stuff. And a lot of fee-for-service dentists or people moving in that direction already say it to me. They're like, why would I give away like such a big percentage? And I'm sure I'm sure you're not new to these questions. You've heard these before. So let's start there. You know, what is a membership plan? How does it work? Am I going to give everything away? Blah, blah, blah.
Cool. And let me, as I answer that, let me talk about what we learned in that research and why, you know, and sort of how a membership plan is designed to address the need. So what we saw on the uninsured patient side of things was they're very hesitant to come into the practice. But on the other hand, they really value oral care. So we did one-on-one interviews. We did focus groups where we bring 10 patients into a room. We did a national survey. And they equate their oral health to their overall health, their quality of life, and how long they live. And I tell every dentist I talk to, could you imagine a better value proposition than those three things?
Right?
I'm going to live longer, I'm going to be healthier, and I'm going to have a higher quality of life. So you're selling something of great value to an uninsured patient. But when we looked at the practice management data, what we saw was the average uninsured patient came in once every 2 years. And the average for an insured patient was 1.4 times a year.
Really?
1.4 times a year for insured, 0.5 times for an uninsured. And the uninsured is coming in once every 2 years. And so they're coming in at a rate that's about a third of the insured. And when they come into the practice, they'll accept about half the amount of treatment as an insured patient. And so the net is, that's an opportunity, right? And to your question around, like, discount a lot, the net is, you're not trying to discount for discount's sake. What you're trying to do is discount somewhat and give the patient a deal, quote unquote, in coverage that encourages them to come in more often and accept more treatment. And the payoff is big time on the other side of that, where they are coming back, they're coming in, they're acting just like an insured patient. So our membership plan patients come in just like an insured patient, almost exactly the same. They come in about 1.4 times a year on average.
Right.
But the fees that the practice is collecting above insured fees are about 50 to 75% higher than an insured patient. So because you're controlling the fee schedule, that quote unquote subscription or premium the patient's paying goes to the practice, right? Mm-hmm. There's no middleman in between you and that patient. So there's a little bit, I tell people, you got to have a little bit of faith that is going to pay, you're going to give a little bit of discount up front in order to get the patient committed to your practice, coming back and accepting treatment. Now, as far as what a membership plan is, real simply, it's basically a care plan that is offered by the dentist directly to their patient. And I say that in a broad sense in that it can be designed however the practice wants it to be designed. You control the treatment protocol and what's included, what's not included. You control the fee schedule, you control the discount. It's whatever makes sense for your practice. And one thing we do is we have a consultation with practices to understand their practice, understand their patient demographics, and help them design that plan. So obviously a pediatric practice is going to have a very different membership plan than a practice in a high income, older community. They're going to be totally different, right? So at the end of the day, the membership plan typically will include your preventative treatment, your tooth cleans, your exams, your x-rays, for a standard, type of patient. Perio might have three or four, but the net is, it's, you design it for the patient base, and all the preventive care is included. And then typically you'll give discounts for other treatment, right, to motivate your patients to accept other treatment, crowns and fillings and so on. So that's at a real basic level. It's a plan you design directly to your patient, and it's designed however it makes sense for your practice.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I love this. And I'm not going to tell you how to do your job, but one of the things that we do is we try not to use the word discount. We like the word savings. You know,
there you go. Yeah.
You get a savings as being a part. And, everything is, is a benefit of being a member. And I'm sure when you were doing your market research, it's hard to find a business model that doesn't have a subscription thought process to it. I mean, you got Netflix, you got Costco, you got a country club couldn't survive without a now they're combining memberships so they can all win. If you aren't thinking membership long term, there's got to be a way that retains and the motivation. Now, I've heard all this different stuff too. Let me piggyback. And the main reason patients in the United States, and I guess what I'm trying to summarize what you said earlier is the main reason patients in the United States go to a dentist is they perceive they have benefits. So now you're using the same pull, but it's, I like how you say it, it's a care plan, and because I mean, we have family members. I know everybody know you have a family member that doesn't go to the dentist. And the only reason they don't go is because they don't have insurance or benefits of some kind because they perceive. And now you're taking that excuse and just putting it aside for the most part, right?
So yeah, based on the national survey we did, we surveyed 5,000 uninsured patients. And what it came back with was 75%, the reason 75% of the people don't go to the dentist is because they don't have coverage.
Wow.
And here's, what the second one is?
What?
Because it's too expensive. But here's the beauty of that, Kirk, is, so we dug deeper. Obviously, we weren't just going to accept that as an answer. We said, okay, explain to us why it's too expensive. And the issue wasn't it's too expensive. The issue was they had no idea how much dental care costs. None. Right. So we'd ask them, how much is the cleaning? They typically come back $300. We'd ask them, how much is the filling? $500. We ask them what a crown is. It was like $2,000, $3,000. Like, they were marking it up 2, 3, even 4 times higher than what it actually is. And the reason is it's really hard to get your hands on pricing, right?
Right.
And they're afraid to walk into the practice without coverage. So what does that do? It just keeps them away. And so like that, the idea of having coverage and quote unquote, it being affordable only because I understand it and it's transparent, right? And right. I understand that, $30 a month, whatever the number is, that is affordable. I get it. That's affordable. Like, I was expecting to be a lot more than that.
Yeah. Now, wait. You just said like the affordable. Now, because you're a research guy, I want to ask you, and I've heard all these different experts, there's a certain level of what people call affordable. You know, even our friends at Care Credit say there's something weird that happens over the $300 mark. You just see people see that as expensive. Or monthly, we call them under the radar charges here. My CFO has to sit down with me every month and go, what is this? I go, I don't even know. But it's been reoccurring for like 4 years and I can't unsubscribe. Like, you got to go through 35 windows. Now, this is not what we're creating, but the point is there's an affordability line, I'm sure, that you guys see when you're doing your research. Can I ask you about that?
Sure. So one thing I would say is it depends on the zip code you're in. So New York City is going to be very different than Provo, Utah, right? So I can give you the stats. So on average across the U.S., the subscription dentists are charging on our platform, by the way, we have 3,000 dentists on the platform, is $345. That's average across the U.S. We're in 49 states. So that's a pretty good average. Like, that's but we have plans that are as high as $500 or $600. And we have plans as low as $200 or $220. And it's one thing, it's based on where you're located is going to drive some of that. The other thing is going to drive that is, what's your goal of your membership plan? So we have some practices, their goal is to get as many patients on the membership plan as possible. They're going to give them a great discount on preventative care, knowing they're going to come in and accept treatment. And the treatment acceptance the business driven by that will more than pay for the membership plan. We have others who, they actually price the subscription as a premium and a profitable business within their business. And, you know, they create a nice subscription, recurring subscription model. So that is, again, coming back to that, what is your goal with the practice? What are you trying to do? What does your patient base look like? What zip code are you in? And we, like I said, we do a consultation with each practice to understand that. We do a third party fee review. And then we also will compare them to the practices in their area to understand sort of what they're charging and then give them feedback and guidance of doing that. And then one other thing, Kirk, just occurred to me as you're thinking about this, as you create that recurring revenue stream, the renewal rate on our platform is about 85%. So patients, when you set it up and you create like a recurring auto renewal under your membership plan, they just stay with it. Like, your point about trying to find where my subscriptions are and things like that, we don't think that necessarily is the case. But we think people want to keep it. But the net is, by putting it on a platform and automating all of that, you get a very high renewal rate that creates a really nice recurring revenue stream.
Yeah, and that's phenomenal. And if you're a dentist watching this, one of the biggest things that you need to be aware of as you transition in the future are real patients. So what you're going to do is build a real patient base, because a lot of times if you're on a Delta Premier or something like that, another dentist buys your practice, they don't necessarily get those patients. And in many cases, they're not going to buy a Delta Premier practice. They're going to buy a Delta PPO practice, or they're going to become Delta PPO providers. While I'm not the expert in that, you know how this works. And so if you're a dentist and these are, 85% is a huge number when it comes to retention in that spec. Now, Dave, I got to ask this, I get this question all the time, monthly or yearly fee, because 345, I mean, you get these questions. Is there any research that would indicate what's easier or not, you know?
Yeah, so we offer both, and you can either offer one or the other or both. So here's the, again, it comes down to your practice is sort of the answer. But we, when patients 55 and over, when they're given the choice between monthly and annual, 80% of them pick annual. They want to pay up front.
Why?
They just don't like the overhang of a subscription. Like, they're used to their world, you know, in the past was the subscription sort of new in their lives. And they like the idea they have money, they have disposable income, and they like just to clean the books, and they like to make the annual payment up front and be done with it.
Yeah.
The exact opposite on the millennial side. So about 80% of millennials, when given a choice, will take monthly. And it's because they're in the subscription economy, they grew up in that, and they also don't have as much disposable income. And they really appreciate having the ability to spread out their payments and plan around that. So most practices, I'd have to look at the stats. I think it's probably 80 or 85% of the practices offer both, and they allow the patient to decide. But then we have a subset of practices that, force the annual payment up front. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And it will work really well if you have an older patient population. But if you do have some younger patients, you should probably do both.
Yeah, that is such good information, because, we're all just kind of guessing until we talk to somebody like you. It's so funny, because data doesn't lie. It kind of tells you the trends, tells you what's really happening, because as you've already seen, this is an industry that's tremendously opinionated. So I got to ask, let's start. I love starting with you can't do this for money. I love how you start, you know, it's got to be the goals of the practice. But let's talk about the benefits specifically for a great patient in your office. Like, how does this benefit a patient with a membership plan?
So coming back to that research we did, what we found the patients were looking for is they want coverage. So about 89% of patients, uninsured patients, want coverage. And now you go ask the next question is, oh, that's great, but how does the coverage need to be structured? Like, what do you expect to have in it, and how do you expect it to be designed? And what comes through that is three things that are really important. First is it needs to be, quote unquote, comprehensive. So what the patient gets from this is, when they say comprehensive, they want, you know, preventative care, right? They're used to that being sort of built in. And then they also want, if they need treatment outside of that, they want some discounts on it. And they just expect that. I mean, that's what every membership plan they've ever been a part of, right? You get something special for being a member. So one is sort of that comprehensive piece, including those two parts. The second piece is they want it to be very simple, right? In the rest of their world, they can easily sign up for these subscriptions on their phone, right? And so it's got to be mobile, right? And it's got to be, I'm here right now, I want to buy it, I'm buying it off my phone. If you can't do that, that's a problem. So the second benefit is they can sign up right away. As part of that, in conjunction with that, benefits starting immediately. And by the way, that's typically a surprise for the patients and the consumers, because they're used to filling out forms, submitting it, you know, taking time to get approved, all that stuff. So they're very surprised and delighted when they say, I sign up, I'm ready, I can do it now. They're like, I can do it
right
now. You're like, absolutely, right now.
Yeah, wait, can I stop you right there? Because I want to help with this one. I have a dentist in Kansas, and he does this. So he creates his own benefits immediately. He'll say, you know, if they come in with a little, he'll go, hey, look, no charge for this today, you know, if you sign up for our membership plan. So he's giving them benefits before they've even signed up and an incentive to do so, you know, and it's nothing heavy on him. Like, he might just smooth the surface, get a patient out of pain, blah, blah, blah. What a great lead in to why you would want to get involved with this in the first place. Keep going. I'm so sorry.
All right, I love that. No, that's great. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And we hear dentists like giving away little gifts to their members. So when you first join, they might give you a brush, or when you come in, they'll thank you for being a member and then give you something, some little tchotchke. It doesn't have to be a lot, but to show appreciation. But coming back to the benefits to the patient, the other thing is the idea there's no hassles, right? I don't have deductibles. I don't have waiting periods, right? I don't have to do something in order to, you know, file a claim or get reimbursed, or, and there's no, you know, whatever, all that stuff, right? And that's in a typical plan. They love that these things don't have that. And then the last one is, and this one is, it's funny. You got to really talk to dentists sometimes about this, because they feel like they're going to hurt themselves by being transparent with their pricing. But consumers want that, and they really value that, and they feel it's a huge benefit. So as part of the plans we set up is the pricing is all there, and we show them, to your point, the savings and sort of what their price is with the plan and without the plan. And that goes a long way for a couple things. It's showing that you're open and being honest and being authentic with the patient. It also shows that, you know, you can trust me, right? As a dentist, you can trust me, you can trust my team, because we are being so open. And that really goes a long way. So, you know, all those things are really what, you know, when a patient looks at it, that's what they really see as the benefits of these.
Yeah, absolutely. That's powerful. Now, so that's the patient side of things. So if I'm a dentist, go into a little bit more of the benefits for the practice, you know, and how does a membership plan benefit the practice?
So the first thing I think it does is it basically makes it easier for the patient to do business with you. So you got to imagine, and the way I try to describe it to dentists is, think about when you go to the mechanic and you walk in and you just drop off the car and you come back, you know, a couple hours later, and they say you need some part that you don't even know your car had.
Right.
And it's going to cost you $2,500, right?
Right.
And by the way, I can do it or not do it. It's up to you. And you're like, I don't know about, I have no idea. Right? I have no clue what you just said to me. And so what are my choices? I either say yes and I feel bad and I get ripped off, right? Or two, I say no, and I feel bad that my car is going to break down, right? There's no good outcome of that. So I tell dentists, think about that as your uninsured patient sitting in a chair and you give them recommendations on treatment and care, right?
Right.
Well, what a membership plan does is it addresses all of that. It just makes it easier for your patient to do business with you and understand sort of what they're going to pay. And so it's transparent, right? It's simple, and they understand it. And they're much more willing to transact and do business with you by having a membership plan than not having one. And that's huge. It's absolutely huge. You know, as part of the benefits of the membership plan. The other one is, and you probably, everybody hears these a lot, are the patients are more loyal, So right. They bought a membership plan from your practice. They're going to come in more often. They're not going to go to another practice down the street, right? They're in on with your practice. And now it's all the only thing you need to do is then follow through and make them feel good about that, right? So that they'll renew at the end of the year. So make sure they come in and get their cleanings, right? When they're there, I do say, give them a little gift or give them a little thank you. And some of the practices will say, well, what about my other patients? Won't they get upset that they didn't get that thank you? I was like, hopefully, right?
Mm-hmm. So right.
Why did they get that?
Right.
So anyway, you know, it's that loyalty to your practice is a huge benefit. The other one is they accept more treatment. So what we see is patients will accept about 50 to 75% more treatment if they're under a membership plan than if they're not. And that was back to that research I talked about where they act from a treatment acceptance perspective, they act just like an insured patient and they'll accept as much treatment as an insured patient, which is about twice the amount of an uninsured patient.
Right.
The next one, obviously this doesn't happen right away, but you can start to break away from insurance control, right?
Totally.
And so you're basically setting what treatment is included, what's not, what the discounts are, what the office fees are. You know, you're basically setting the procedure protocol. You're setting the rules. You're controlling everything, right? And it's a relationship directly between you and your patient, and you two make the decision on what treatment, right, is the right treatment for that patient.
Hold on. I don't think you can say that loud enough. So you're creating a plan that has one dentist on it. Guess who it is? It's you. They can't use this plan anywhere else. Yeah. And there's no maximum on it. You don't have somebody saying there's a man. There's no one telling you how to treat your patients, blah, blah, blah. You're the administrator of the plan. You're also overseeing all the care. Like it's brilliant. I think it's absolutely brilliant. It's a no-brainer. And again, I'll go back to the reason. Like a lot of people get so mad. Here's the essence of where all this comes together for a lot of our clients. Anyway, and I'm sure you can relate. We have dentists that are like, they're so mad about dentistry or in insurance, but they don't have a plan, or they say, I'm going to get off of this plan. And they go, well, how much of your practice, how many patients are on that? And they go, well, 25%, I can just dump it. I'm like, well, it makes up 50% of your chair time. And they're like, oh, I didn't know that. You know what I mean? So now this is the perfect way to start wedging, you know, the right type of patients that are coming to you for the right reasons and you're retaining them. And oftentimes I'm sure you found that when you start communicating authentically with a patient like this, they're going to say, well, your membership plan is $345. That's cheaper than my regular dental insurance, right?
Yeah, typical dental insurance is anywhere between $500 and $600. And then you got a bunch of hidden fees in there as well. Sometimes you got to pay a fee for visiting. Sometimes you got to do a deductible. Like sometimes there's a sign-up fee. Like there's all kinds of stuff. Again, that idea that they're going to get me. I know they're going to get me, right? It's sort of the patient attitude towards insurance plans. And sort of building on what you're talking about, it's a funny story. When we first started Clear, we were working with 30 dentists and they were, you know, implementing the plan and trying to give us feedback. And one dentist called me. I was in the middle of the day, wasn't expecting a call. He calls me and he says, hey, I got a patient in the chair and my plan says they get a bite wing, but they need a pano. What should I do? And I'm like,
you're the administrator.
Yeah. I said, what do you want to do? And he goes, I'd like to get the pano. I said, perfect. Give the pano. Like, and I said, and you never have to call me again to ask me that question. I was like, it's completely under your control.
And that was one of the most freeing moments of that dentist's life. He's like, wait, I get to make the decision that's in the best interest of the patient.
Exactly. It was a really cool moment. And then, sorry, just to finish off on that conversation, the last thing that we like to highlight is when you have a new patient come in or a dormant patient suddenly comes back, you know, to your office, or you have an emergency visit from a patient. We see a lot of practices that will offer them some type of special, right? You walk in, you get the special. Or, you know, some practices will have the discount plans on their desk and they'll say, hey, you might want to sign up for this discount plan, right? That's not mine. It's some third party, right? You're going to pay the third party. What do I get? I get a crappy, you know, schedule. So what the huge benefit of a membership plan is on that front is throw those plans away. Don't have them on your desk anymore, right? You control the relationship with that patient when they come in. And rather than give them a one-off, you know, sort of freebie, sign them up to the membership plan and they're going to be a long-term patient of yours. And you, to your point you're making earlier, Kirk, is you might give them something free on that visit. That's cool. You say, hey, you sign up for this membership plan. I'll give you this exam for free, right? And you're going to get your two claims, your exams and x-rays and blah, blah, blah in the future, right? And so just make it like it's an introductory, you know, right into your practice into long-term care versus one-off they leave and they, you never see them again.
Yeah. And everybody in the world loves a little bit of a discount. Like I love going to my favorite restaurant, which there's no discounts at all. But when my favorite waiter goes, here, it's just an extra one, that glass of wine, that one's on me. I'm like, oh, I love it. Like, you know, and there's a lot of excellent periodontists and surgeons watching this that say, hey, look, patient wants to do 4 implants, I'll give them 1 for free. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So most people get stuck on the whole discount thing. Now, I would say this, if you're just discounting everything to try to get people to say yes, that's not a good plan at all. But the, you know, sometimes we refer to this as a soft dollar giveaway. You know what I mean? You're just, you're giving away something just to, for good faith, saying, hey, look, for your commitment, you know, part of being a member and the benefits, blah, blah, blah. So I love that you said that. I absolutely love that. Now, I also get stuck in this one, and you got to help me out of this hole because, you know, everyone's like, okay, when I ask people about this, I go, you got to do it. And they go, oh, I tried it, it didn't work. And then I go, how many patients do you have on it? And they go, 2. And I'm like, that's not a big enough sample. I think you got to get to 50 or 100 and then determine, you know, how to make adjustments from there. But their thinking is like long-term. Do you have some good case studies or good things you could say? Look, here's a typical dentist. Like I get people like this that have 5,000 PPO patients and they don't know where to start. But if they're committed to a journey like this, a year, 2 years, 3 years from now, the whole thing changes. Do you have some good case studies that you could share or good stories?
We do. So I'll just tell one because we have a bunch of them. And I think we have 12 or 15 of them up on our website. So if somebody wants to go up and see more of them, it's just clear.com, K-L-E-E-R.com. But the one I would highlight, just because we were able to get all of their data, they shared the whole practice management data with us. So they're a practice. They have 6 offices, and they happen to be in the Philadelphia area. But the net is they are a small group. They had their own membership plan. It was all manual. So like some of the practices do, they'll keep a spreadsheet or whatever, and somebody has to track it. What they found was it was very, very difficult to manage. So they had about 100, 150 people on the plan, which isn't many given how many office locations they have. So one was they were getting to a point where it was breaking down. They couldn't figure out who had what benefits, how often did they come in, what benefits did they use, you know, when are they going to renew, when they do need to renew, how do we get in touch with them? And mm-hmm. What was happening was the renewal rate was horrendous. It was 25%. And wow. The reason was that, you know, a lot of patients were saying, they even hired a telemarketing firm to call these patients to try to get them to renew. And the reaction of the patient was, oh, I'll do it when I come in next, right? Because I wasn't, you know, in a way I didn't sign up. I just signed a piece of paper when I was in your office and I walked away. And you know what? That didn't really mean a whole lot to me, right? And I got my treatment on. So that was, they had something, it wasn't working, but they understood membership plans. They could see it should be of more value to them. So that is, we engaged with them. We helped craft their plan. They were one of the practices that got more aggressive on the subscription side. So they actually charged $240 for their 2 claims, exams, x-rays, which isn't a lot. I mean, that's not a lot for the Philadelphia area. Typically, we'll see those in the 350 area. But that was, they do, if the patients got on, they would accept more treatment. So that is, over the course of about a year, they signed up about 725 or so patients into their membership plan. So they went from 150, their plan that they had for about 3 or 4 years, to 720 or so over the course of about 11 or 12 months. They generated about $200,000 of recurring subscription revenue. So that's just renewing, and you know, it's a nice little annuity they have going there. But probably more importantly, that patient base accepted 761,000 of additional treatment. So if you add the two together, they basically created about $1 million of treatment from these patients over the course of about 11 months. And we dug in deeper. We wanted to understand sort of how were those patients acting relative to their other patients. So just like I talked about before, we looked at their membership plan patients, we looked at their uninsured, and we looked at their insured. And this, it's, going back to that original research we did, it's amazing how closely it was correlated. So what we saw was the membership plan patients were coming in exactly the same as the insured patients. They were getting the same, doing the same visits, doing the same amount of cleanings. So they were acting just like them, which was about twice the amount of the uninsured. And then they were accepting, this is the funny part, or actually the real positive part, they accept just a little less than the insured patients. So the insured patients were accepting about 5.9 procedures, and the membership plan patients were accepting 5.4. So just a little bit below, but the net revenue to the practice under the membership plan was 160% higher under the membership plan than it was for the insured plan. So think about it. The dentist is doing less work, and they're making 160% more net revenue. So it's a complete no-brainer, right? You say sell this to every patient you possibly could. And we see that. It's very common, that type of those types of numbers with their membership plan.
Right. And you're using your own fee schedule on those 5.4 procedures instead of somebody else's fee schedule, all that kind of stuff. And really, let's go back. I just got to constantly, you know, one of the dangerous parts about CE like this is you can't make it too much about money, because people are like, oh, it's all about it. No, you're giving the patients the care they need and deserve under your fee schedule and 160% improvement, you know? So that's crazy. It's crazy. So,
Kirk, here's the amazing thing. It didn't cost the patient any more than if they would have bought insurance. Right? It's basically the same thing. It's just that middleman's gone, right? It's just you and the patient, and that money's being passed straight to you. There's nobody in the way.
It's crazy. That's why it's a no-brainer. I mean, and here's my challenge. If you're sitting there going, get to 50 and just prove yourself wrong, or get to 100, but you know, going to 725, that's groundbreaking. My first question is, how the heck did they do that? You know, that's a big commitment from the team, a lot of education, a lot of verbal skills, you know, reiterating scenarios and, you know, real-time learning, saying, hey, look, I sold two of them yesterday. Let me share you with the, because that's the part that's missing. Everybody's just told to do it, but they don't get any help, you know? And I would imagine you guys are probably invested on the education side at Clear.
Yeah, so we don't make money unless the practice makes money. There's no upfront fees, there's no implementation fees, there's no monthly fee. We just get paid by the number of members you put onto the platform. So our interests are completely aligned to the dentist interest. And so what that means is we have a success team that works hand in hand with the practices to do the training, to get them ready, to give them the materials. We give them all their marketing materials. We give them, you know, both in the office and online. You know, we give them a landing page they put onto their website. We show them how to promote it. We actually have calls, you know, talk scripts that for a hygienist, for somebody at the front desk, for the dentist to talk to the patient. So, for example, we did market research. We brought patients into a practice, and the whole thing was a full day. And so we bring a patient in, we talk to them about the membership plan, and then we would stop and say, okay, tell us what you liked, what you didn't like. And so they'd give us feedback. We'd walk that customer out. We would then change the messaging, and we'd bring another patient in, and we'd talk to them. And we did that for 8 hours. And the net result of all that was these talks, you know, so talk tracks for the different people in the practice. So, for example, the huge lesson learned was doing it in stereo matters. So the front desk mentioned it, the hygienist mentioned it, the dentist mentioned it. That's right. Going to increase your uptake big time. And it can't be a canned script. Like, the front desk person has to say, why is this important to him or her? And be personable about it. And then the hygienist says the same thing. So hygienist says, hey, if you're on this membership plan, I know you're going to come in. I also know you're going to be healthier, right? My cleaning is going to take less effort, right? We're going to keep you in good health. Like, that's my goal. And that's what I want to do. The dentist, when they talk, be passionate about, you know, the insurers are very difficult to work with. They're not good for me. They're not good for you. And there's reasons for that. And let me explain that to you. Patients love that. They get it. They understand it, right? And so don't think it has to be, you know, a transaction type of thing, and that's all it's about. It's like, what does it mean to you personally? And why is it, you know, good for you and good for the patient at the same time? Like, and I know I'm going off a little bit of a tangent, but the idea of giving the practices what they need to be successful selling to the patient is core to what we do. And it's very, to your point, it's very important. And it's something that if you're looking to do a membership plan, either on your own or with somebody else, just make sure you've thought through that whole sort of, you know, that step. How am I going to train the team? What am I going to train them on? How am I going to measure how they're doing? Things like that are very important.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. Well, you know, best practices show best. What other best practices? So let's say, you know, Dave, you see like people doing best practices. What are some of the other things you guys have seen?
So there's it's a long list, but I'll try to keep it short. So one is have a plan coordinator. So it's somebody in the practice who owns it and make sure everybody's trained, right? And is, you know, the materials are out and we're promoting it on the website, all that stuff. So it's one person in charge. The second thing is the dentists need to be on board. Don't try to do this, you know, outside the dentist's purview or whatever, without their complete buy-in. So, and I shouldn't say without the purview because they're going to know, but make sure they're bought in and they agree it's a good thing for the practice and they're committed to it, because it can, you know, basically derailed. Obviously, the dentist isn't on board. make sure you set some goals and you're tracking your progress. So, and it can be, we always say, start with something really simple. Look at this week, the week coming up, and say, I have 10 patients walking in the door who are uninsured. My goal this week, it might be my first week with the membership plan, is to sign up 2 of them, right? Next week might be 3, and then 5. And then, so you're just getting used to it and understanding sort of how to make that pitch, you know, and you'll get people signed up, but set goals and track that, those goals and those results. There's a lot of things around the experience. So make sure when the patient, you know, buys the plan, it's a good experience. Don't give them a form to fill out by pen. Don't ask them to fax something in. Don't ask them to print a PDF, right? It needs to be mobile and it needs to be accessible right then and there. And it's got to be very, very easy. And also after they're done, they like to have something they hold on to. So like we provide a portal, right? Where they can see the benefits they've bought. They can manage their payment. They can do whatever they want, just like they do with everything else in their lives. So just make sure that experience is a good one. Make sure your team has a good experience. Another thing that will kill membership plans is it's very difficult to manage, hard to track, right? I don't know who has what benefits. I don't know when people are coming up for renewal. People will lose faith in it and sort of walk away from it. So there's a bunch of other stuff, but the other one is just, you know, make sure that you're promoting it in lots of places, not just one place. So promote it in your office, promote it on your website, promote it on your social media. Really make sure you're getting a word out big time. And probably without going through the rest of them, the one other one that's, you know, people I get a lot of questions about is regulatory compliance. Just make sure it's compliant. And it's not, a lot of people bring up the insurance laws, which are fine. We can, you know, basically we built the platform to be compliant, but there's a lot of other laws that you have to follow. Like HIPAA is one that you have to follow. There's consumer protection laws that you have to follow at a federal level and so on and so forth. There's probably, I guess, 8 or 9 different sort of, you know, regulations you need to follow.
Yeah. And there's so many nuances. That's why a great platform like this is really kind of an easy button for all this. I mean, especially the practice, 725 patients, you have failed credit card payments. And I'm sure you guys have figured out a recovery system instead of having your team members call every day and try to get a new credit card, right?
So I apologize. I didn't mention this when we were talking about the monthly versus annual. So here's the trade-off is another insight we have. So people will say, well, annual is better because I get my money up front, right?
Right.
And, you know, here's the interesting part. And then they worry about monthly payments because is the credit card going to, you know, are they going to cancel the card and I'm going to lose payments, right? So here's some stats that are really interesting. So on the monthly plans on our platform, the failure rate on the platform is 1.5%.
Wait. No. That's too low.
Exactly. But the reason it's so low is, there's a couple of reasons, right? There's one is a patient walking into the door, if they're a real credit risk and the practice knows, they're probably not going to sell the membership plan. So there's a natural barrier there. But once a patient does say, okay, I'm going to sign up, we use a third party on the back end called Stripe, who does a credit check on the payment method before they accept it. It's very fast, but it's very thorough.
Wow.
So one is, that's another sort of good gate. The other piece is on the monthly payment plans, once they're in place and people understand it and they see it and say it's $25 a month, they're fine with it. And they don't typically, you know, have any issues. The only issues that come up typically are if the card's stolen or a card is lost. And to your point, we have fallback mechanisms where we see that and we send out notifications to the patient, we send notifications to the practice and to our team, our success team, and somebody's going to engage with that patient. The patient stops it on their own with the practice, or if the practice wants to, our team will solve it as well. So coming back to the dynamics of annual versus monthly, so monthly is 1.5%. Here's another interesting stat. We've never had a monthly plan not renew.
Wait, never?
Never.
Never is a big word, man.
So I'm with you.
That is awesome. So tell me your hypothesis. That's one of my favorite words, hypothesis. What's your hypothesis behind that?
So the big hypothesis, well, it's not a hypothesis, we know why, but The reason is when somebody's on monthly plan, one is it's once a month and it just sort of happens and it just keeps going. They don't think in annual terms, right?
Right.
Like this month is no different than the last month. They typically don't know when their anniversary date is. So my question to you is, when did you sign up for Netflix? When's your anniversary of Netflix?
I don't even know. As a matter of fact, my kids have all added their own individual thing and then they're all over me just to update my credit card information. And I get the little ping, 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 ping. And before you know it, I got all 5 other family members. And I can't even use my own account, you know?
So that's one thing is it's monthly and I'm used to that. And I don't even know my anniversary dates and they just keep happening, right? And so that's one part. The other part is, think about it. We're charging that card every month. So if there's an issue with that card, we know about it before it gets to renewal. So they might have an issue with their card stolen or something 7 months in. we get that fixed. And then when the 12th month comes around, rolling over to the 13th, the card's fine. Like, you don't have, there's no natural thing that says on a monthly basis at renewal time, my card's going to be stolen, right? It's it just sort of runs. So it was huge insight for us. But here's the downside of the annual plans. So the annual plans, we haven't charged them for 12 months. Right.
Wait, back up. Say that again. My brain is overload right now. So, okay, you haven't what?
So the annual payment plan. So I shifted from monthly to annual. So, so the monthly plans just renew, and you know we never have issues with those as far as renewals. On the annual plans, right? We charge them upfront all 12 months, and okay. So let's say we got our $345 upfront, and that was sent to the dentist's bank account, right? And everything's good. They got their claims, exams, and X-rays. They come up for renewal. We have not seen that card for 12 months. Right. So right. Okay. Our system charged that card 12 months ago.
Got it.
A lot of things can happen in 12 months. Right. So that card could have been stolen. They may have switched credit card companies, whatever. Right. There's all kinds of reasons they might have lost it. So the net is when you go to renew a annual plan, our failure rate is about 8%. So it's not that they owe the practice anything. They already paid up front for that first 12 months. But for that next 12 months, our system flags it and tells the practice 90 days before it happens that this is an issue. You should call the patient. We notify the patient and we ask them to update their credit card. But I'm just saying everybody thinks annual is better, but we know there's no way you're getting around this. You're going to have an issue at that 12 month with about 8% of your patients. It's just going to take some follow up. Now, 8% is not bad, right? You can follow up with them and get them, you know, a new credit card put on file, but it is the downside of an annual payment plan.
Yeah. Now my brain is just, my brain's small, so it's on overload right now. But you know, like I'm just thinking like Apple Pay, like if you're on mobile, do you have the Apple Pay? Because that would always be updated for all things. Cause I use it constantly at Jimmy John's, but I'm just like Apple Pay. You know, I guess where I'm going with this is the easier people could just press a button, the easier it's going to be type of a thing.
Absolutely.
But that's so cool. 1.58%. That's huge. Cause everyone asks this question. Now I have data. What other things would blow our minds on the research? I need like two more hours with you, man. I love this. I absolutely love this stuff.
I'm trying to think of the blow your mind is a pretty high hurdle, but the thing I tell practices and dentists and office managers and so on all the time is patients want this. Right. Like that's like the biggest hurdle sometimes we have is they're not comfortable quote unquote selling a membership plan. And we're like, no, 89% of those patients want coverage. They just don't expect it to be something that they can either afford or is going to give them what they want or they can understand. Like they just want simple, transparent, comprehensive, right? And affordable. If you can provide those things to them, you're not selling to them. You're giving them what they want. And so, and then again, back to those talk tracks, just talk to them about it in a way that you see it's personal, it's a value to you, just like it's a value to them, and right. You're not selling anymore, right?
Dave, this is unbelievable. I'm going to have you back, and we're going to do other topics. You know, I'd love to do one on team, like a kind of best practices to, because every team member will meet this with violent resistance when they first hear about it. Go, wait a minute, you've been talking no insurance, and now you want to include an insurance? I'm like, it's not an insurance plan, it's a membership plan. So, you know, dentists are not, well, I shouldn't throw everybody in a bucket, but sometimes they're not the best communicators to their team members about what this truly is. And so I love Clear's commitment to what you guys do. This has been incredible. And I have so many other questions, but so if I'm watching this and I'm a 32-year-old dentist, how do I find about Clear? And then also keep in mind, you know, Dave, people are going to be listening to this on iTunes, so they don't have the benefit of seeing this. How do I find out about how to get a hold of you, get involved? Like, how do I find you?
Yeah. So the easiest way, if you go up to clear.com, so typical, it's KLEER.com. That's by far the easiest way to get a hold of us. There's a way right. you can schedule a demo. You can, you know, ask us questions, things like that. If somebody wants to contact me personally, I'm fine with that as well. It's just dave@clear.com. So again, KLEER.com. And if you have any questions, just, you know, send them over to me. I also am a texter. So if you want to text something to me, 610-299-6037. I'm fine with, you know, just, you know, if it's something pertinent, it's something you really want an answer to, I have no problem. You text me, I'll respond.
Yeah. Do you have time? I have one more question. So I get this one too. Okay. I've got Dentrix. I got Eagle Soft. We're trying to put this membership. you know, how do I get them working together? The write-offs thing, like I get that one every week. So how do I account for it? Do I create a single line? And as you can imagine, they're in there trying to create their own type of write-off system. Do you get that question?
Yeah, so we do all the time. And there's no one answer. So the net is each practice, depending on what software they're using and sort of their accounting methods, there'll be a little bit of a different answer to it. And what we have is our consultants are clear success managers, work with you on that upfront to make sure that's put in place in the right way. Now, ultimately, what we're going to do is integrate with that software. But I know if you've had this discussion with others, but it's very difficult to do that right now. And so, you know, they just have not built a great way to share data back and forth between systems. But we're working on that. And we actually have a path to get that in place, which would make everybody's life a lot easier. But in the meantime, with our consultation, you'll know how to do it. And it's not bad. Like once you'll understand it and you put a process in place, it's not bad at all.
Yeah. I've heard the software companies don't play nice with everybody. So. It's just funny.
I'm diplomatic on that one.
I know. Buddy, I am so grateful. This has been fantastic. So do me a favor, just stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. And so if you're watching this and you found this valuable, which I know you did, just do us a favor, hit the share button, share this with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions. We're going to have Dave back and ask him some tough questions on some of the deeper mechanics of this. I have no doubt he's going to provide answers and data, which we all love. And keep sending us suggestions for other things and shows. Reach out to Dave, ask him some of the tough questions. Don't just sit there and struggle through this. There's people in the world like this that have great things. And keep in mind, this is a huge benefit. Patients are asking for this. It is a no-brainer. Jump on it, make it happen in your practice. So until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day.